Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Broadcasting from the Shaw Star Market Studios, the flagship station for your Boston Red Sox. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence Boston, a radio.com sports station.
You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
All right, Brian Barrett with you until 7 o'clock. If you want to join us, feel free to do so. 617-779-7937. Everything on the table. Bruins, Cam Newton, the new quarterback of the Patriots, addressed the media for the first time this week. And, of course, the Red Sox, who pick up a win today, 5-3 over the Toronto Blue Jays. They won their first series of the season. Think about it. Congratulations to the Sox on that. They finally won a series. All right? Nice job. Nice job under the Red Sox to finally win a series, although they only had four hits today. Mitch Moreland had two of them. Moreland was great. Rest of the team now, Devers hit a home run, and Nathan Eovaldi had a great outing again, and he's been really good for the Red Sox this season. But when you have eight hits in your last two games, I'm not feeling awfully optimistic about this team right now. And when J.D. Martinez continually complains about everything in terms of the video at the beginning of the year, he's hitting second. Oh, it's a new routine. It's adjustment. Get used to it, man. This is the reality that you live in right now as a player. Start to perform. Now, quickly on the Bruins before I get to Cam Newton and the Red Sox. So the Bruins were 0-3 in this round robin. I don't believe they looked particularly great in any of those games. Now, they looked horrendous, absolutely atrocious against the Flyers. Against the Lightning, they played about a period and a half that was good, and then they faded in the second half of the third period. They were awful in the first period. And then today, they end up losing to the Capitals. They looked better, but of course, they did not look great. And here's the thing. I don't understand how any Bruins fan would not be alarmed by the performance that they showed in this round-robin tournament. They were the worst team. Out of the four teams that were in the round-robin, they were the worst team. They lost every single game. So if you're telling me, oh, don't worry about it, they're just easing into this thing. Well, the Flyers weren't. The Lightning weren't. And these other teams weren't easing into this thing. Why should I have all this faith in the Bruins? I don't give them, like, the benefit of the doubt that I give, say, for example, the New England Patriots, because they do it year after year after year. The reality of the situation is, with this Bruins team, they need to win a Stanley Cup, or we're going to consider this group of players, this core, if you will, slightly underachievers. Because here's the reality of the other teams across the sport. The Blackhawks have won three Stanley Cups in this decade. Pretty good. The Pittsburgh Penguins, who are out of the postseason, by the way, not great for the NHL that Crosby and McDavid are out in the first round before the real playoffs actually kick off. Two 12 seeds knock off two 5 seeds, but I slightly digress. The Penguins have won two cups this decade, and if you go back to 09, they've won three cups. From 9 to 19, they won three cups in a 10-year period. The LA Kings have won two Stanley Cups this decade. The Bruins, one. They've played in three. They've won one. Last year was their opportunity to win. They were a better team than the Blues, and they got outmanned. They got outmuscled. They got beat at their own game. So in my mind, when you look at this core of players, is one cup enough? In my mind, that would be slightly disappointing. You expected more out of this core group of guys, right? Really what this team is, if you think about it, if they finish with just the one cup, and right now I don't feel optimistic at all that they're going to get a cup this year, it's almost like the Denver Broncos in the NFL in the Peyton Manning era, where Peyton Manning was an MVP in 13. 2012, he was great as well. They came up with one Super Bowl out of that, and it was, of course, in 15 when Manning was starting to fade, when Manning was basically just a babysitter. He was handing the football off. They asked, hey, Peyton, don't turn it over. We got this great defense. That's what this Bruins team would actually be. They would be underachievers if they don't get another cup. In my mind, that's what they would be. And here's the thing. With this Bruins team, I don't see them beating the Lightning if they get matched up with the Lightning. Now, I know the Lightning are the two seed, and I know that the Lightning ended up losing Victor Hedman yesterday to some sort of, the great terminology in hockey, lower body injury. It looked like an ankle injury, although we could be wrong. Who knows what the hell it was? He's slamming his stick when he came off the ice, so obviously it's severe. They're out without Stamkos as well, but this team is deep, man. When you saw that second line the other night with Tyler Johnson, who, of course, got the game winner, a bad, juicy rebound by Tuukka, that second line, when you have Cirelli and Johnson, they just come at you at waves, did the Tampa Bay Lightning. Remember, the Bruins lost to them 2 years ago, 4-1. And the lucky thing for the Bruins is they avoided them last year. I guess it's good news that you could avoid them until, hypothetically, the Eastern Conference Finals, but that means you're going to have to go through Philadelphia, a team that just skated circles around you the other day. So it's concerning to me to watch this team play in the round-robin tournament, and just really, they never put up a great performance. You just needed that. Because I could have agreed with Bruins fans. Yeah, you know what, Brian? Well, they played well in this game, so they'll be fine. They weren't going to dial it up completely. Well, they didn't dial it up for any of these games, apparently. So I'm just going to go to blind faith based on what they were 3.5-4 months ago. This is a totally different situation now. Totally different situation. Like, for example, you look at, like, the NBA bubble. I take the Pacers a lot more seriously than I did a couple of months ago because the emergence of TJ Warren for them. It's the same thing in the NHL. The Bruins are not the team that they were before the stoppage, which was by far the best team in the NHL. They're not that team anymore. They have not proven it. Quite frankly, Chara's looked horrible. He looks slow. And not to say that he looked great before, but he looks like he can barely move. This has not been a reassuring thing for the Bruins, and Tuukka has not looked great since he's in the net. And I hated the comment the other night, well, it doesn't really matter about losing home ice because of the fact that, oh, what, are we just going to have to change dressing rooms, etc.? No, well, you should know that having a high seed helps you out because you avoid the tougher matchups. We've seen this throughout. Last year, out of all teams that should know this, it should be the Bruins. They benefited more so than anybody else last year because the Lightning went down and the Capitals went down, and then it was easy sledding to the Stanley Cup final that you ended up losing on your home ice to the Blues, but the Eastern Conference was a layup for you. Layup. 617-779-7937, the number. I did want to pivot to the Patriots because for the first time this week, you heard your quarterback actually address the media because he's been doing a lot of Instagram. He's been doing YouTube roundtables. This week, he actually spoke to the media via a Zoom call. And Cam Newton this week was asked, of course, a bunch of questions, and one of which was, what does he have to prove? And here's what Cam had to say.
How much would you say you have to prove, if anything, heading into the season?
I don't have to prove nothing, because at the end of the day, especially not to nobody, I have to prove to myself. That's a daily challenge, and I don't think nobody's expectations would ever surpass my expectations for myself. And I'm just looking forward to the challenge.
I'm sorry, what, Cam? You have nothing to prove. You don't have anything to prove but to yourself. What? Well, you know you've never played here, right? You've never played for the Patriots. Oh, and you do realize that there was one team this offseason that was willing to give you a contract. That was the New England Patriots.
Nothing.
Yeah, you don't have to prove anything. I understand you've had a great career. You were an MVP. You went to a Super Bowl. I understand all that. Been to the playoffs several times. But you're somebody that has to reestablish his NFL value. And first of all, establish your value to a different organization. You have a lot to prove to a lot of different people. Because one of the things that I keep hearing is how angry Cam Newton's been this particular offseason to prove everybody wrong. So I would say that, yeah, you have a lot to prove. To prove that you're still a really good quarterback in this league. Because, quite frankly, you haven't been great, right? Now, in 18, before the injury, he was good. He led that team to a 6-2 record, completed 67% of his passes. I understand all that. That's good. But you have to prove that you're still that guy. Because now you've had several procedures to your shoulder, to your ankle. First of all, you got to prove you're healthy. And then secondly, you got to prove that the Patriots made this genius move by picking you up, right? You have to prove that you're somebody that Bill Belichick can be a contender with again. So there's a lot to prove. You think the fan base is going to be like when Cam Newton doesn't play well through the first three games of the season, think they're going to be like, well, yeah, Cam's happy at least. He's got nothing to prove, right? No, the fan base is going to come after him if he doesn't perform. So he has to prove that he can perform here. I get that this is coach speak almost in a way where he's saying, oh, I don't have to prove anything but to myself. No, you have to prove to this fan base that it was worth taking a shot on you. Belichick went out there and he signed you, and I know the timing was interesting because of the fact that the signing was basically reported the same day that the Patriots got that fine. But the reality is this. He's got to prove a whole lot to this fan base. See, because if you're a Patriots fan right now, you're thinking to yourself, all right, well, Brady's gone, and most of the fan base was pissed off about that. I, quite frankly, wasn't. I did not want to give him the lifetime contract, right? I didn't want to give him that. I was ready to move on from the player. And nothing against Tom. It was just like, all right, he wants 2 years, 50 mil. That's what he's going to get from the Bucs, and that's what other teams are willing to offer him. That's what he wants. I don't want to see a lifetime achievement award for Tom Brady. Last year, I saw him break down in the second half of the season. I didn't want to give him that if I was the Patriots. And quite frankly, clearly Belichick didn't want to give him that deal either. So it's not about the fact that they moved on from Brady for me, but it's the fact that they took a shortcut, right? What Belichick thinks he did is he took a shortcut. Went from the long view, so to speak, where Stidham could have been the starting quarterback. And then you find out if Stidham's good or not. And if he's good, great. You got your next quarterback after Tom Brady. If he sucks, well, no big deal. No harm, no foul. In 2021, which is an incredible quarterback class, at least it's labeled that way, Trevor Lawrence, the presumptive number one pick out of Clemson. I know you weren't going to get up that far in the draft, but then you have Justin Fields. You got Trey Lance, the kid out of North Dakota State. So there's a lot of guys out there that you could go after if you're the Patriots in terms of the next draft. I was fine with that. But when Belichick goes out there and he goes with the shortcut route where he goes after Cam Newton, when you sign a guy like Cam Newton, it's not signing Andy Dalton, right? Where Andy Dalton, fine, he's your backup, right? Marcus Mariota, fine, bring him in, he's your backup. Those guys have been backups recently. Dalton got benched last year for Ryan Finley. Now, he did get the job back because Ryan Finley was just so atrocious. But with Dalton, with Marcus Mariota, that's not Bill signaling to the fan base, and not that he's actually doing this, but the signal that sent to me as a fan of the team was, okay, this means that Bill's all in. Bill's going to try to contend again with Cam Newton. So the Patriots took a shortcut to try to stay relevant and stay contenders with Cam Newton as the quarterback because they believe that Newton is good enough to lead them to where they want to go, which is win another AFC East crown and compete and have an opportunity to try to get back to a Super Bowl. That's the goal when you bring in a guy like Cam Newton, a former MVP, a guy with that type of pedigree. So if he goes out there and he just sucks, that means that it's a failure. The experiment is a failure of bringing in Cam Newton. So he's got a whole lot to prove. He's got to prove to this fan base, he's got to prove to this market that he's actually still a great player. And he has to prove to the rest of the NFL that he's still a good player.
He needs to prove to the organization he can beat out Jarrett Stidham.
Yeah, see, I don't quite frankly believe in this whole competition. See,
no, neither do I. I just want to buy into it
yes,
a little bit.
I believe that the competition is more about Stidham than it is about Cam Newton. So the reason I say that is this. When they basically went the whole offseason, they didn't sign anybody. And they went the whole draft, they didn't select anybody. They were basically saying, hey, in a way, they were sending the message that Stidham's the guy, right? And people all over the market were buying into the Patriots propaganda with Jarrett Stidham. So then they signed Cam Newton. And I believe the reason they put it out there that this is a competition is because they want to keep Jarrett Stidham engaged. I still believe they like Stidham. It's just they don't like him as much as everybody thought they liked him. Like the PR we heard coming out of there was, oh, they love Stidham. Oh, Stidham would have been a first rounder. He just had a bad, his junior year was, it would have been a first round. Yeah, okay. I don't buy into any of that crap. But nonetheless, Stidham, you have to imagine the player was deflated. Now, I know he said the other day at his media availability that, oh, he was excited when they got Cam. Really? You were excited when they got a guy to take over you? No, you weren't. But anyway, getting back to the original point, Belichick wanted to keep Stidham engaged. He wanted Stidham to keep developing and keep getting better. And it just so happened that after we find out, oh, this is going to be a competition, Stidham's holding these training sessions again with these guys. So you want to keep Stidham feeling positive about himself. And Stidham, you want him to continue to develop this season because this season could be really weird with everything going on with COVID-19. We know that Cam has an injury history. So at some point, you may need Stidham this season. So I think this whole idea of a competition is more so about Jarrett Stidham than it is Cam Newton. The reason they put that out there is to keep Stidham engaged, to keep Stidham motivated on the season. Oh, by the way, Cam did comment this week on that competition with Jarrett Stidham. Here's what he had to say.
Well, as far as compete, you compete every year. It doesn't matter how much a person's paid, doesn't matter how much a person's experienced, doesn't matter how much a person, you know, knows or doesn't know. I think, you know, we're all are competing each and every day. And, you know, I've been competing every single day. You know, it didn't matter what the team was, you know, because at the end of the day, if you're one game away, as I've learned in this past year, and at the end of the day, it's just about, like I say, proving your worth and doing your part.
Oh, I love that answer. I love that answer from Cam Newton. I know I criticized his last answer, but I love this answer because Cam Newton, in his heart of hearts, knows he's the starting quarterback of the Patriots already. In fact, most of you out there know that Cam Newton's already the starting quarterback of the Patriots. But this is like what you want to hear from a Patriot, right? This is like Belichick took Cam into the lab and he said, hey, Cam, these are the talking points. This is what you say when you get a question like this. This is how we would like you to answer this. I love that answer. I compete every day. That's what I do. I compete every day. So it doesn't matter if you're paid a lot of money, if you're not paid a lot of money. I'm in here to compete. Love it. Love that answer from Cam Newton. That sounds like a Patriot, baby. Let's go. All right, 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you up until 7 o'clock. What did you make of Cam Newton's first media availability this week? Do you like your new quarterback of the New England Patriots? Plus, we'll get you trending in just a second here on WEI.
The Greg Hill Show, morning 6 to 10. Now, here's what's trending on WEI.
Here's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com. The Sox beat the Jays 5-3 this afternoon. Mitch Moreland, a walk-off home run in the bottom of the ninth inning. His second home run of the afternoon. Two for Mitch Moreland. He's now up to 6 on the season. Nathan Eovaldi went 6 innings, surrendering 3 earned. He struck out 10. How about Rafael Devers? He homered. See if Devers can get going now. He's been horrible this season, but a home run today. The Sox will host the Rays tomorrow in the first of a 4-game set. Coverage begins at 6:30 on the Shaw's and Star Market WEI Red Sox Radio Network with Joe Castiglione and Will Fleming on the call. Meanwhile, the Celtics are at halftime. They have a 55-51 lead on the Orlando Magic. Right now for the Celtics, big half for Gordon Hayward, 18 points, baby. How about that? Jaylen Brown, 11 points. He was tremendous the other night against the Raptors. How about the fact they were up by 40 points at one point against the Raptors the other night? Meanwhile, the news not good for the Bruins. They fell to the Capitals 2-1 in their final seeding game. Jake DeBrus scored in the loss. Tuukka Rask stopped 23 of his 25 shots. He faced the Black and Gold will be the number 4 seed after finishing 0-3 in the round robin. Not what you're looking for from your bees. They'll take on the Hurricanes in the first round of the playoffs. Meanwhile, final round of the PGA Championship at TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Quick look at your leaderboard. Cameron Champ, now 10 under par as well. He's tied with Dustin Johnson. Bryson DeChambeau, one stroke back. He's at 9 under par. Tony Finau at 8 under par. Patrick Reed is at 7 under par. That's the leaderboard so far. It's going to be interesting. I like this golf on the East Coast, by the way, or the West Coast, rather, because it's late on the East Coast. Brooks Koepka, he's been horrible today. The two-time defending champ, he's dropped all the way to 4 under par. He's 3 over on the day. Bad look for Koepka. That's what's trending now on WEI. WEI.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Cam, thanks for the time today. I really appreciate it. And welcome. I'm curious, the way things ended in Carolina, does that add extra motivation for you coming in here this
year? I wake up mad. You know what I'm saying? I don't need the fact that I'm not able to see my kids on a regular basis, that's what makes me mad. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, for me, I'm not going to dwell on the past. You know, I think I'm a person that's a self-motivator. And, you know, even though the past is the past, I'm not going to keep looking back.
All right. So that's Cam Newton. Hey, Cam, extra motivation because of what happened, how it ended in Carolina. Nah, I'm not going to dwell on the past. He actually said at the end of that answer as well that he wishes them the best. I'm sorry, what? You wish the Carolina Panthers the best? Hold on, because I saw an Instagram video where Cam Newton said they chose this or they chose that over this, referring to them signing Teddy Bridgewater. I also saw a video where he said, I never once wanted to leave Carolina. Don't let them make you believe anything else. It was their decision. I stuck with it. I knew that. So I asked for a trade. So you never wanted to leave Carolina, yet now you wish them the best. Then he said this in that Odell Beckham Jr. roundtable about the Panthers. Quote, nobody called me. Bro, it was a text sent. I was like, what? And my agent called me and I was like, yeah, I told them. Don't just do that. We're going to have to agree to which team you're going to be traded to. Oh, yeah. And remember when Cam Newton was on that YouTube roundtable with Odell Beckham Jr. and Victor Cruz and Todd Gurley. And just to digress slightly, I don't know why the hell Todd Gurley was in that thing. He barely talked. He was irrelevant in that thing. I was fine with just Odell Beckham Jr. and Cam Newton. Those guys are entertaining. Todd Gurley, sorry, get out of there. Get out of there. I don't know why he's in that. Get going. Get out of there. But anyway, getting back to the original point as it pertains to Cam, he was saying, I was looking at the schedule saying, that team passed on me, that team passed on me, that team passed on me. So what he was doing the other day in that Zoom call where he's saying, no, it's not extra motivation whatsoever. I wake up angry every day anyway. Oh, give me a break. You've literally been telling us for what? Ever since you signed with the Patriots, before actually you signed with the Patriots, you've been telling us on Instagram how the Carolina Panthers left you for dead, how everybody's doubting you, how are you going to prove everybody wrong? That's what Cam Newton's been telling us for the past, what, 3 months? And then he says the other day on the Zoom call on Friday afternoon, you know what? I wish the Carolina Panthers the best. I mean,
that team passed on me.
Yeah, there it is. That's what he was doing. But nah, there's no extra motivation whatsoever. But this is what I'll say to this. So first of all, we can all agree that it's 100% completely disingenuous. Cam Newton obviously is pissed at the Carolina Panthers still. He's obviously pissed at the rest of the NFL. And quite frankly, one of the things that shocks me is, how has Cam Newton's agent not asked for more money from the Patriots? Like, they got all this salary cap space cleared up after the Antonio Brown grievance, the Aaron Hernandez grievance, and then, of course, a bunch of guys decided to opt out for the season, 8 in total. So you got all this salary cap space, and Cam Newton essentially signed for the league minimum, especially considering the fact that if you are Cam Newton, you're like, wait, hold on. These grievances just didn't come out of nowhere, right? You couldn't have waited a couple days to give me my contract. But anyways, not saying anything about that. It's great. But the one thing I give Cam Newton credit for, because I was asking for this for a couple of weeks, is I was waiting for Cam Newton to get over his ex. And I understand that, look, Cam Newton put put the Carolina Panthers on the map. Now, I know that they went to a Super Bowl with Jake DeLone, but let's be real. That was an irrelevant franchise. Yeah, they had one nice run with John Fox, but other than that, nobody thought about the Carolina Panthers. And then Cam Newton came around, and he put them on the map. He took them to a Super Bowl. He was in all the commercials. I mean, in 2015, he was like the biggest star in the NFL. For that year, it was like, holy crap, the Panthers. Remember the Panthers, they didn't lose a game until week 16 against the Atlanta Falcons. There was a legitimate question, are the Panthers going to go undefeated? Now, of course, they didn't perform well when they got to the Super Bowl, but they made it all the way to the Super Bowl. So he put that franchise on the map. So to just text him and then put it out there, a few of the Panthers that, yeah, it was actually Cam that wanted the trade when that's not really all the details. You were getting ready to move on from the player, and you actually screwed him in terms of if you just cut him loose before that. And I understand you tried to get something back for him, but you couldn't. But if you cut him loose a little bit earlier, he would have had a more diverse market, if you will. More teams would have been interested. And look, Cam got screwed by the whole COVID-19 situation as well because you couldn't travel all over the country and meet with people, etc. But the bigger point with Newton is I understand why he was pissed off about them. He's justified in being pissed off at the Carolina Panthers. But one thing that was starting to irritate me is I got that, like, right after you signed with the Patriots and for the months leading up to your signing with the Patriots, I got how pissed you were at the Carolina Panthers. But the one thing, and I asked for it, is get over your ex. And if you want to use that for motivation, fine. But at least move on. And I give Cam Newton credit because this week, and when he did that Zoom call, he referenced the fact that it's almost surreal being a Patriot. The fact he loved when he pulling up to Patriots Place every day. You could tell, and if you watched any of the video, you could tell, like, he's pumped up to be a member of the Patriots organization. He talked about all the success that the Patriots has had as a team, and he's just happy to be part of it, right? That's what I was waiting for from Cam Newton. So I do appreciate the fact that we're finally at a spot where Cam Newton has transitioned from, I'm super pissed off at my ex, to now, oh, I'm excited about this opportunity. That's what I was waiting for from Cam Newton, was finally for him to be excited about being a member of the New England Patriots. And it feels like we're now at that stage with Cam Newton, which I'm happy about because there's a lot of stuff that has to go in getting ready to this season. Cam's got to learn a whole new offense. He's got to build up an on-field chemistry with all these different guys, the Edelmans, the Harrys, the Sanus, the young tight ends, and Asiasi and Dalton Keene. You got to develop chemistry with all these guys, James White, etc. Got to learn Josh McDaniel's offense. And I know there's going to be obviously massive tweaks when you go from Tom Brady to Cam Newton. But now it seems like the guy, after hearing him talk on Friday, it seems like he is 100% invested in the here and now. And leading up to this point, before training camp got underway, if you will, and I know that the first padded practice can't be till what, like the 17th anyway, but up until this particular point, it felt like it was more about Cam. Cam, the individual, proving everybody wrong. Cam pissed off at the Carolina Panthers. That's what it felt like it was about until now. And when I heard him Friday, he sounded like a lot of other Patriots that we've heard in recent years. And when a lot of Patriots address the media, they address the media this way. So I feel like what happens is he got, I don't even know what the perfect verb would be, but Patriotsized or something, where he met with Belichick and Belichick went through, hey, this is the way that we want you to answer the questions. This is what we want you to say. But I do feel like what we got out of Cam Newton was genuine happiness in that Zoom call of now being a member of the New England Patriots. You could tell the guy was super pumped up to get in there, and I know that he's saying all the right things, so that's one thing I got to give Cam Newton credit for, because I criticized him in the last couple of weeks for focusing too much on the past and focusing too much on the Carolina Panthers and what happened and this team and that team and this team and all this crap. And I wanted him to talk more about being a Patriot, because now I understand that he did post that Julian Edelman posted the video where he photoshopped Cam Newton into it. And I understand he posted the workout with him in, or actually Julian Edelman posted the video. But the one thing that I hadn't really heard from Cam Newton is his excitement level about being a member of the Patriots. He mentioned it briefly in that YouTube roundtable, but for the most part, it had been more about Cam than it had been, oh, now I get to be a member of the Patriots. And it felt like Friday, you felt like, all right, this is the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots. He sounds like the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots. I'm all on board. I'm ready to go. I'm excited to see Cam Newton get the opportunity here as the starting quarterback of the Patriots, even though they've put it out there that this competition between Brian Hoyer and Jarrett Stidham. Brian Hoyer cracked me up, man. Now, they said they did this alphabetically, the way they were doing the Zoom calls. So if you watched it the other day, Hoyer went, then Cam Newton went, and then Jarrett Stidham went. So Hoyer gets up there. And Hoyer said that even when Tom was here, I was competing like it was my job. And then he said, well, I knew like I probably was never going to get a chance to beat out Tom, but I was competing like I was the starter. Well, that's great. And then the disservice the Patriots did to Jarrett Stidham was that he spoke after Cam Newton. So Cam Newton addresses the media. Everybody wants to hear what Cam Newton wants to say, right? This is the guy that's the next quarterback after Tom Brady. He's a former MVP. He's a megastar in terms of his persona on and off the field, right? He's a star. Cam Newton's a star. So he's a celebrity, right? So, and then after that, it's like, oh, yeah, Jarrett Stidham's available if anybody wants to ask Jarrett Stidham questions. And then Jarrett Stidham talks about the fact he's excited Cam Newton's here. I mean, come on. We know you're not excited that Cam Newton's here, but I understand you got to toe the company line, so to speak. You don't want to say anything. But what if Jarrett Stidham did actually say, like, yeah, I was actually pissed. I felt like... You know, this is really what Jarrett Stidham felt like.
You know, I'm just really excited to continue to learn from, you know, both of them.
Yeah, really excited to learn from both of them and really excited not to have the starting quarterback job anymore. But think about it. Really what Jarrett Stidham was thinking was, okay, think about it. Put yourself in Jarrett Stidham's shoes. Tom Brady leaves. You get to NFL free agency. Phillip Rivers, okay, he goes to the Colts. Teddy Bridgewater goes to the Panthers. We didn't trade for Andy Dalton. They didn't even go after Marcus Mariota. Wait, we brought in Hoyer. I beat him out last year. That's it. Okay, I'm feeling good. Then I get to the NFL draft. Okay, they don't trade up for Jordan Love, or they wouldn't even have had to trade it up for Jordan Love. They don't like Jordan Love. They didn't go after him. They didn't take a guy like Jalen Hurts or Jake Fromm or Jacob Eason. Holy crap. I'm going to be the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots. And then at the end of June, Belichick says, yeah, we're signing that Cam guy. So, yeah, Jarrett Stidham was not happy, and he's not happy that he's competing with Cam Newton. That is a lie, and I don't blame him for saying that. If he did say, yeah, I was pretty pissed because they didn't draft anybody and they didn't sign anybody in free agency, so I thought I was going to have the job. I thought it was mine, and now I get to compete with Cam Newton. If he said that, obviously it'd be a massive mistake, be very unpatriot-like, but that's exactly what he's thinking. And I can imagine that was a punch to the gut. He said he was in Texas when he found out, so he wasn't even here. He's in Texas. Probably a good idea he was in Texas, and that's when the team... sign Cam Newton, probably like, yeah, Jared, we're going to sign the Newton guy. So he can keep competing, but the Newton guy's here. And by the way, they met apparently. When he was at Auburn, apparently Cam Newton took him out for lunch when Newton went back to visit his former school that he led to a national championship. All right, the number is 617-779-7937 if you want to join us. Coming up next, there's one member of the Patriots organization that has a whole lot of pressure on him in 2020. His last name is not Belichick. His last name is not Newton either. We'll get to it next right here on WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
All right, Brian Barrett with you up until 7, 617-779-7937 is the number. So, the Patriots had all this media availability this week, and it was almost too much. Like, everybody spoke on the same day. They didn't separate it at all. Belichick, McDaniels, Cam, Hoyer, Stidham, they all spoke on the same day. It was almost too much. Like, give us one or two of these guys a day. But Josh McDaniels is somebody that is now going from Tom Brady to a totally different type of quarterback in Cam Newton. And here's what McDaniels had to say about Newton.
Knowing him how I do now, and again, that's not to say we've had a long relationship. I think he's a really good communicator. He tells you, you know, when he feels comfortable with something, and he tells you when he doesn't, you know. And I think at the beginning of any relationship, I think that's a really good place to start.
All right, so really waxing poetically about the new quarterback of the New England Patriots, Cam Newton. And I'm wondering if any of that has to do with this. So this was back in May when this was reported. The Athletic's Joseph Person, who covers the Carolina Panthers, he reported that Josh McDaniels, quote, wasn't necessarily high on Cam Newton. I have to imagine that Cam Newton knew that coming here, well, McDaniels didn't want me with the Panthers. There had to have been at least a little bit of that going through the back of his mind, right? That Josh McDaniels was interviewed for the Carolina Panthers job, and apparently he wasn't necessarily high on Cam Newton. And now Josh McDaniels is going to be the offensive coordinator for Cam Newton to try to get Cam Newton's career back on track. You've got to imagine that Cam Newton saw that report. Somebody told him about that report, right? So I don't, and I'm not saying that Josh McDaniels is being disingenuous or anything along those lines, but I have to imagine that part of the reason he puts that out there is, well, you know, this whole report that was out there that I didn't necessarily want Cam Newton if I was going to take the Carolina job. That may be part of the reason. I'm just saying that may be part of the reason. I'm sure it's not a big deal within the organization, but you can't tell me that there's no way that Cam Newton didn't hear about that report. He had to have heard about that report. Now, another thing I wanted to mention about Josh McDaniels is this. So this is such an important year for McDaniels. We didn't think we'd be here. So think about this for a second. In the past 3 years, Matt Patricia's got a head coaching job. He may be out of a head coaching job after this season based on the way things have gone there in Detroit. Brian Flores has got a head coaching job. Looks like he's got things going in the right direction there in Miami, by the way. Just picked up maybe his franchise quarterback of the future in Tua Tagovailoa. And oh, by the way, a guy that was coaching, what, the receivers last year? In Joe Judge and the special teams in Joe Judge? He got a job last year. So in the past 2 to 3 years, Matt Patricia, Brian Flores, and Joe Judge all got coaching jobs. Remember a couple of years ago we were talking about, oh, Josh McDaniels was going to have his pick of any job that he wanted. He was supposed to be the number one head coaching candidate in the NFL. He's still without that next job. Still without that next job. And here's the reality of the situation. Remember Josh McDaniels basically gave a concession speech a couple of years ago where it's like, yeah, I'm pulling out. I'm not considering any of these jobs. Maybe these people weren't offering Josh McDaniels the job he wanted. Or maybe he was just being too picky at the time. But now we're in a spot where it's been a while since Josh McDaniels has been rumored for a head coaching job every offseason. It's been like 3-4 years now, and he still hasn't landed a job. And what could work against Josh McDaniels is this now, into the future. He's not very young anymore. And secondly, Tom Brady last year was not good. Okay, second half of the season, his body broke down. It was not a particularly great season for Tom Brady. Josh McDaniels, by the way, is in a situation now where he has to prove that he's an elite offensive mind without Tom Brady. Because much of his success is linked to Tom Brady, which I don't believe it's a coincidence this week that Josh McDaniels brought up the Matt Castle season where the team went 11-5 when Brady got injured week one against the Kansas City Chiefs. He also mentioned, well, he'd been at different places before, mentioned that he was the head coach in Denver, and he also mentioned that the season they began with Jimmy Garoppolo and Jacoby Brissett. I don't think it's a coincidence that he mentions those things. I don't think it's just about putting it out there to the media like, hey, we've been in situations before. We've handled it with different quarterbacks that weren't Tom here. I think this is also about Josh McDaniels. The reason he brings that up in my mind, it's also about himself. That, hey, look, I've had success with other quarterbacks that aren't Tom Brady. Because now the reality of the situation is this. If he doesn't have success with Cam Newton this season, you'd think that teams are going to be calling up Josh McDaniels to interview for their job next year. He missed on a bunch of jobs. Heck, the Carolina Panthers decided to hire a guy from Baylor, Matt Rhule, who wears like a stupid smock whenever he coaches. Ever seen that guy on the sideline? They gave that guy like, what, $70 million, like a 7-year contract. And Josh McDaniels has been interviewing for jobs for years now. He's had success as an offensive coordinator in the NFL. He couldn't get the Carolina job. All these jobs over the past couple of years, we keep hearing Josh McDaniels linked to this, Josh McDaniels is linked to that. He got one job, the Colts job, and he decided to leave. So I imagine that's not a great thing to have on your resume either when you basically are a runaway bride. And look, the Colts made out well. They got Frank Reich, who's turned out to be an outstanding football coach. But this season, if Cam Newton comes here, a former MVP, a guy that's had a ton of success, if he comes here and he fails, if he falls flat on his face and he's not good, and then if Jared Stidham comes in and you don't see a significantly better quarterback play out of Jared Stidham, well, who's going to be saying, yeah, let me go after the guy that coached Brady a couple of years ago, even though the offense wasn't good in 2020. So this, to me, for Josh McDaniels, he's all in this season. He needs this Cam Newton situation to work out if he wants to go to a different organization and be a head coach. We've seen that he's been interviewing for these jobs. He's not landing any of them. So it can go one of two ways for McDaniels. If he has a great season with Cam Newton, right, who is obviously the polar opposite of Tom Brady as a quarterback on the field, wants to run the ball, very athletic. Tom Brady is the greatest pocket passer we've ever seen. He's going to slice you and dice you up. He's going to death by a million paper cuts. Cam Newton is going to run you over. That's when he's had his most success, is when he's actually running the football. So if he can build a legitimate, really good offense with Cam Newton, well, then you're going to have a big-time market for you if you're Josh McDaniels. Because, whoa, holy crap, this guy did it with Tom Brady. He had a great offense with Brady, who's a pocket passer. And then he did it with a quarterback in Cam Newton that's the more athletic type quarterback that likes to run the football, and he designed an offense to actually cater and fit his skill set as well. Oh, this is a guy that we want as a head coach. But if it goes poorly for Josh McDaniels, his opportunities to actually become a head coach in the NFL, it may be over. So huge, huge year for Josh McDaniels. All right, thanks to Josh for producing. Appreciate the time. I'll be back with you later on this week. Have a great rest of your weekend, everybody. Be safe and be well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.